This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Hello, folks. Future editing Michelle here. For some reason, our intro is refusing to properly upload to any social media. Looking at you, Riverside, but trying to get that figured out. In the meantime, we're just going to cut it, and I'm just going to add what we were going to say. We were saying basically about the discovery of the SS James Carruthers that was recently found, I guess, in May 2025, but was published about a few weeks ago, which we want to cover in a future episode. So that is on our radar to cover, but it's a pretty cool shipwreck, and congrats to those who found it, and hopefully bring some closure to those who are descendants of those who were on board. I made the comment that I don't know if anyone was still alive since it went down in 1913. And then Andrew told me about Ethel Caterham of the UK, who turned 116 years old last month. So we'll include a photo of her too, because that is quite the accomplishment. 116 years. She would have definitely been alive at the time of the shipwreck, only in a different country, because she was born in 1909. So happy belated birthday to her, and congrats to the people who found the SS James Carruthers, and sorry about our technical difficulties. We will try to get that straightened out by next week. So let's get on with the show.
On that note, hello.
Ahoy.
And welcome to the Under the Waves podcast. It's a show about all things old people, young people, boats found, sunk, alive, on the whatever. It's about shipwrecks on the Great Lakes, plus many other things. My name is Andrew. I'll be your derelict captain for today's entertainment.
Yeah. Why stop at boats when you have a whole world ahead of you? And I'm Michelle. Welcome aboard this week's episode. Somehow, some way, we missed our 1 year anniversary, which when we're recording this was 3 days ago. So wow. Happy 1 year podcasting anniversary. That's crazy.
Yay.
Definitely belated. Wow, you sound so excited. can't believe you made it here.
It's crazy. It's already been a year, folks. Thanks for tuning in, for joining us. It's been a wild year. Hopefully there'll be many more episodes ahead, and hopefully we can bring you guys some more educational entertainment.
Yeah, exactly. Here's to a new year of shipwrecks, stories, interviews, lighthouses, guest appearances, people, so much more.
The most unhinged sign-off.
Exactly. We got a good one today.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it. Today we are talking about a ship who earned herself the name, quote, Bad Luck Barkentine, end quote. That is a terrible...
Just rolls off the tongue.
It sort of does, but it's a terrible kind of name for, nickname for a boat.
Yeah, it's not what you want in a boat.
Especially when there's a lot of superstition surrounding the maritime industry. But she has the title of being one of the oldest ships to sink along Lake Superior's shipwreck coast. Shipwreck Coast, as we may have mentioned prior, is about an 80-mile or 128.7-kilometer stretch of the Michigan shoreline between Munising and Whitefish Point. This area is specifically known for its treacherous conditions and numerous historical shipwrecks. A lot of these shipwrecks are contributed to the nasty weather Superior can put forth, along with the lack of safe harbors for ships to wait out a storm in. Some also call the area the graveyard of the Great Lakes, with around 200 shipwrecks being in this area alone. One of the most well-known ones being the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Which, granted, that's 200 that they assume. I mean, if there's ships that are missing that they don't know, it could be more.
That is true.
And that's not a huge area to have 200 some plus shipwrecks in.
Yeah, that's no number to sniff at. But back to our bad luck barkentine, we are talking about the nucleus. No, we're not talking about the biological nucleus that holds the cell's chromosomes and where RNA is made from the DNA in said chromosomes. No, we are rather talking about a 144-foot-long barkentine schooner. And that's 43.9 meters for the rest, or rather the majority of all you people who might be listening. We should really just get our researcher a poster that shows all the different types of ships to reference on the fly, because they should know by now what these are. But for the rest of us, a barkentine, also known as a schooner bark, and that's B-A-R-Q-U-E, is a sailing vessel with three or more masts. Of these masts, the foremast, or the frontmost mast, is square rigged, with the rest being fore and aft rigged. We'll post a pic if there's room, or feel free to Google it yourself if you'd like. Barkentine's sail configurations allowed for a smaller crew to be needed to run the ship while still being a fairly well-performing ship. Barkentines had plenty of cargo space and, as sources put it, had, quote, the ability to sail relatively close to the wind, end quote. Sailing close to the wind was a way of carefully and skillfully adjusting the sails of a ship to be able to progress almost directly into the wind while still moving forward. If a sailing ship faces straight into the wind, the ship stops and the sails luff or flap in the wind. Sailing close to the wind is a skill where one would maneuver a ship upwind without having to tack back and forth. Kind of cool. Nowadays, the idiom means that someone is pushing the boundaries, taking borderline controversial risks, and maybe operating on the edge of what is considered either acceptable or legal. Whichever, the nucleus was good at it.
Which, it makes it seem like it's now a bad saying, which, I mean, it kind of is. It's like, oh, you're, what is it? Sailing close to the wind there. Like, oh, you're edging on getting in trouble or something.
I've never heard anyone say that, to be fair.
I don't want to bring it into circulation now, but I don't want it to be such a... I don't know too many people risking their lives daily to be able to say that. Let's bring this back.
Let's bring this back. But also... Like, let's bring the saying back. Also, I mean, I didn't think we wanted that far. if someone was sailing that close and they mucked it up and got it, you know, into irons or where it's straight into the wind, I mean, that would be in danger. That would be a bad
time.
That
makes sense.
So I think that's what it's more so.
Because I was like, it sounds like
you're really close to having a bad day.
Got it.
Not that being in irons is the end of the day, but, you know, it's just put you back a couple minutes.
I didn't know it was called being in irons, which makes sense because you're like stuck there. But I thought it was more of like a skill. Like, I mean, I think it is a skill, but it's like when you can shift without using a clutch or something, and in a vehicle, like it's just like it's a skill. Like it's just like a cool thing. It's like, oh, you're just there. No,
yeah, it's a skill.
Okay. Why don't you get back to reading? I'll be quiet.
So how did the nucleus earn her name of the Bad Luck Barkentine? Well, she had a nasty habit of sinking. Yep, that'll do it. Along with countless other incidents during her 21-year career, she had been beached, drifted from shore, and, most surprisingly, had already sunk twice in her career. After both incidents, none of which could be found by our humble researcher, the nucleus was refloated, repaired, and sent back to work. In total, according to Corey Atkins, who you might remember from the Great Lakes Shipwreck Historical Society, whom we had the opportunity to interview in episode 35, titled An Illustrious Interview, the nucleus had 9 to 11 different accounts of accidents reported over her lifetime. And then came her... What? Then she came attacked. Her attack?
Well, she initially just sank, and I... Despite every source... that we read saying that there are sources listing her accidents, we could not find any. And we ended up even on NASA somehow. and couldn't find any. So
like their website or what? Yeah, are we on the ISS right now? What are we talking about?
We're on the website and we were just like looking for any sources talking about her accidents and sinkings and groundings and anything. And I think we ended up finding one about her ground. I think it was just like a leaking boat. But yeah, despite a lot of sources saying that there are numerous records of this, we could not find any, and it was very frustrating. So if you have info, please let us know. We will continue searching for info, but she seemingly just had a bunch of accidents and then she caused an accident.
Oh,
so that was her
thus
attack.
The attack. Interesting. All right. Well, in 1854, in some heavy fog, the Nucleus smashed into the sidewheeler SS Detroit, who ultimately sank in Lake Huron. And feel free to stay tuned for that story later on in our episodes.
I was like, not today, sorry.
No, not today. Despite there allegedly being countless sources describing the many accidents of the Nucleus, as you just mentioned, we only found one. It was a Buffalo Daily Republic newspaper article from Tuesday, September 4, 1860. It read, quote, "The bark Nucleus, bound down, grain laden, sprung a leak on Friday off Lexington, Lake Huron. She was taken in tow by the propeller Montgomery as far as Port Huron. Canvas was got under her and the leakage much reduced," end quote. Great sentence structure.
Which also, like, it's not gone. It's just reduced.
Yeah, no.
That's still, not still comforting. Leaking. Still that's not, that doesn't make you feel good.
We didn't fix it. We made it different.
Yeah, it's just a little slower. You have longer to sink, so you can sink further out.
Yeah, but in this accident, her hull was damaged at a cost of $400, and her cargo was a loss of $300. In total, that's just over $27,000 U.S. today. On September 14, 1869, the Nucleus was carrying a load of iron ore downbound from Marquette, Michigan, when she was suddenly caught up in a bad storm. On board was a crew of somewhere between 7 to 12 men, which included one Captain Moore. There's no record mentioning his first name, and the ship started taking on water, and despite the crew's best efforts, the leak became so bad that the crew realized they needed to abandon ship.
Probably that canvas coming apart. It could be better.
It's kind of like when you see a old billboard like on someone's roof just as a temporary patch before they can, like, you know, repair the roof or whatever. I feel the same way. This is probably just like, this will hold us over until we can make it happen.
It's probably an old McDonald's billboard. When did McDonald's get around? Was this around that time?
it probably. I think it was a bit
when
before that.
Did McDonald's,
I think it was
open.
1950s.
1940, you're really close.
Thank you.
I'm wrong. Yes, it reminds you of that without it actually being that.
All of those on board, we repeat all of them, because yes, there were no deaths with the sinking, escaped the doomed Nucleus and clambered into the lifeboats. Huzzah. So nice to have a happy ending on that. But the bad luck from the ship rubbed off one more time for her crew. After a few hours of bobbing around in the storm in their yawls, the bedraggled group spotted a passing ship, the SS Union. However, despite all their best efforts to hail down this ship for a rescue, which included waving around a gas lamp to get their attention, to which the SS Union pulled up alongside them, the potential rescue ship steamed right on by, leaving the crew of the Nucleus behind. Officers on board the SS Union were reported to have seen the crew of the Nucleus struggling in the storm, but they still chose to keep moving along.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell, fast, to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Luckily, a schooner called the Worthington would come by later, spot the group and lifeboat, and successfully rescue them.
Like, it wasn't just like, oh, maybe they see us, maybe they don't. They got closer.
That's nuts.
Like, not just like they were going in their path. Like, they got closer. And then just like,
maybe not.
No, that guy doesn't mow his lawn every Sunday. I'm not going to rescue him. Like, yeah, I know him.
That's kind of wild.
Ah, it's crazy.
The Worthington brought the rescued Nucleus crew all the way back to Sault Ste. Marie. There, news of their rescue spread as well as the fact that the SS Union and its captain refused to stop and rescue the men. An old newspaper article that Atkins quoted for a Minnesota Star Tribune interview read, quote, "We should wait anxiously for a statement from the captain of the Union in regard to this apparently inhumane neglect," end quote. Atkins later said that it, quote, "seems like the only stroke of luck the Nucleus had is that nobody lost their life that day," end quote. Great news for the Miss Bad Luck. She was found in 2021 by the Great Lakes Shipwreck Historical Society. They were using their marine sonic technology side scan sonar that summer when they found something 600 feet under the waves. And that's 182.9 meters, by the way. What they found was a Civil War era debris field along with a shipwreck matching the measurements of the Nucleus. A quick side note. That's kind of cool to know. The sonar that is used by the Great Lakes Shipwreck Historical Society is the same kind that underwater surveyors, archaeologists, and treasure hunters use. One source specifically mentioned that, and we thought it was kind of interesting and interesting enough to include. We learned from talking with Atkins just how serious of an organization the Great Lakes Shipwreck Historical Society is, and it's pretty neat to know that they're using some heavy-duty well-known equipment in their findings, in the work.
Yeah, and I think that's why, I'm assuming, why some sources mentioned it, but it's like, oh, people just look looking for ships, like, oh, it can't be that hard. Like, no, they're using some really high-tech stuff.
Top of the line, machinery. Top tier.
Top of the line high-tech machinery. And it's kind of cool. It's like, oh, it's not just like their stuff too. Like, it's used, I don't know if it's globally, but definitely used in the Great Lakes for other things as well. But no, it's just kind of cool and a nice reminder of these are people's jobs. It's not just like a hobby. Like, I'm sure it is a hobby for a lot of people, but it's also a job and with a lot of really good, important parts to it. But I don't know. I just thought it was cool. I never equated the two together.
Mm-hmm. Quite impressive. It wasn't until the following year in 2022 that the Nucleus was officially identified by their remotely operated vehicle, or ROV. The Great Lakes Shipwreck Historical Society Director of Marine Operation, Daryl Ertl Jr., said in an interview, quote, "The stern was intact. It had a straight back stern, and then the port side was also intact. And so I was more excited about it because at first I thought it was totally in pieces on the bottom," end quote. The finding of the Nucleus was significant due to her age, her design as a barkentine, and her operational history, such as all of her accidents. Since she sank in 1869, 152 years before she would be seen again, the Nucleus is one of the oldest ships to have gone down along Lake Superior's shipwreck coast. Bruce Lynn, executive director of the Shipwreck Society, said about the wreck, quote, "This is a pretty significant shipwreck. Considering its age, the fact that it is a barkentine and we can't overlook the vessel's checkered past," end quote. Today, the Nucleus, like we mentioned, sits in 600 feet of water and is around 40 miles, or 64.4 kilometers, northwest of Vermilion Point in Lake Superior. According to the Shipwreck Society, there are quite a few shovels and dinner plates scattered around the wreckage. These help to speak of the past of shipping practices where there were no self-unloaders, like we covered in our last episode about the MV Cuyahoga.
It's like you're going to say Yahoo or something. Cuyahoga.
Cuyahoga. The MV Cuyahoga. Crews hand-shoveled everything onto and off of the ships, hence all of the shovels. The Nucleus's stern is intact along with her port side, as aforementioned. One more interesting thing about the Nucleus, it appears she has some sort of wooden knees, K-N-E-E-S, as the Shipwreck Society is calling it. their features on the hull that they figure were used while docking in a port, but since they've never been seen before on a wreck, the actual use is actually unclear. If you know more about what these wooden protrusions might be, we'll include a picture that was taken by the Shipwreck Society. Call in or write in to the Shipwreck Society. They would love to know. We'd love to know. We'll include their contact in our socials, but you can reach out to Corey directly at Corey, that's Corey, at shipwreckmuseum.com, or feel free to give him a call at 906-635-1742. But yeah, if you know what these wooden protrusions are that were on this hull, please let them know. We're all dying to know.
It's so weird to, like, I mean, how many ships have they found? And this is the first time this has shown up.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of
some
cool.
Weird little wooden knee braces or whatever.
Maybe to protect your knees from hitting the dock if you're sitting on the side. I don't know.
Mayhaps. And of course, the Nucleus made it to the r/submechanophobia page that Michelle loves to haunt. There are some pictures of plates from the wreckage that we'll post, but someone commented that they were surprised no one has stolen said plate. And the original poster, or the OP, replied, in 600 feet of water?
I'm surprised no one's stolen this plate yet. Yeah, 600 and, feet of water. That's no snorkel.
And of course, it only took 4 comments until someone wrote, quote, Superior, they said, never gives up her dead, end quote. Gone too soon. And to appease the more superstitious or little stitious listeners that we might have, there was some unease around the Nucleus due to all of her bad luck. While according to the interwebs, salvaging a sunken ship isn't a superstitious inducing act, it was all of the accidents and the actual sinkings in between. A few less than fully credible websites mentioned a nameless spokesperson for the Great Lakes Shipwreck Historical Society, who they quoted as saying, quote, though I can't speak for the crew of the Nucleus, I would not want to go on that vessel. It had horrible luck, end quote. Okay. And despite everyone saying that there are records of her accidents, rumor has it that our researcher is still out looking for them, wandering around in the darkness.
Yeah, we might have to, hopefully she's not 600 feet down now, but we might have to send out a search party.
These are some phenomenal photos, though.
Some more. Yeah, they're kind of cool. They're kind of creepy. Obviously, it's really dark because it's 600 feet down, but there's a lot of detail still, like the plate's not being broken, or there's a bucket. The starboard's kind of looks a little smashed, starboard bow, but a lot of shovels.
A lot of, yeah, very well maintained, like, you know, preserved, I should say. There's no maintenance
like
crew
down there.
Like someone's
down there.
Just sweeping or whatever. No,
I
very well.
Clear out the cobwebs a bit
preserved,
more.
Preserved, very well preserved. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the story of the Nucleus at its core.
Yeah, it's fun looking at Nucleus and getting all the biology stuff pop up that I haven't seen in years. Last week's trivia, we had none last week. This week's trivia, why is a ship's speed measured in knots? Andrew, do you know this one offhand or no? I didn't.
I do not.
Okay, cool. Maybe our audience knows. If so, make sure to come back around these parts next week to find out the answer if you don't know. If you do know, you can send us your answers as well as any story you'd like us to cover or even just to say hi. And that's underthewavespodcast@gmail.com. If you prefer your books to have more pictures than words, welcome to the family and check out all the photos on Instagram @underthewavespodcast and Facebook underthewavespodcast. Like, review, subscribe, follow, stalk, sit a spell, and just hang out with us wherever you listen. And for those of you who haven't heard or in case you want to hear it again, we love you, we're proud of you, we're rooting for you. And see you here next time for more Great Lakes Shipwreck Adventures. Oh, and you can check out our website. Almost forgot that one. www.underthewavespodcast.com. And that has all of our sources listed so you can do your own deep dives. Don't get too lost. Maybe you'll find our researcher down there.
If you do, make sure. Yeah, bring her back.
Decompression tank and all.
Share this episode with all thrift store troopers antique artisans, garage sale gurus, yard sale youngsters, and estate sale experts. Do you know someone who is always on the hunt for the best deal? Or maybe it's a friend who lives by the motto of one person's trash is another person's treasure. Share this episode with the individual you know who cannot resist a hand-drawn, haphazardly stapled to a telephone pole promise of a sign that says big sale this way and points into a little neighborhood that you would normally just drive right on by. Nothing screams excitement like walking head-on into a complete stranger's house in hopes of finding that one treasure that you will absolutely, that you absolutely cannot live without. A place where all rules of self-preservation just fly out the window, off the shelf, and stranger danger is a friendly competition to see who can get the coveted one-of-a-kind mug set first and for the best price. Or maybe your friend has a thing for taxidermy animals.
Doing so well. I haven't heard you say animals in years. It's like spaghetti and stuff. Oh, that's cute. Little baby Andrew came back for a second.
Or maybe your friend has a thing for taxidermy animals, mismatched lampshades, or even haunted mirrors that just give off a vibe, but you're convinced it's more than just that. Perhaps you're the one in your circle of acquaintances who loves digging through the 50-cent bins, hoping to find some relic that's been forgotten for a long time by most and probably should be in some recycling pile instead. If so, share this with the next person you cross paths with in one of your bargain hunting adventures. We get it. It can be a dog-eat-dog world out there with limited editions. The fights for the forgotten silverware and butter dishes, and maybe even an elbowing of some grandmother in order to get the only ship in a bottle that you've seen in the past 5 years. Though we totally get that feeling, because how do they even make those ships in a bottle? It's just the strangest little thing. Share this with someone you haven't recently ticked off, or maybe even the store clerk or the homeowner or wherever you may safely find yourself, and we hope all of your future endeavors are peaceful, painless, and full of good fortune and forgotten treasure. And no grandmothers were harmed in the making of this paragraph. We release new episodes every Friday, and until then, fair winds and following seas.
We'll catch you next time under the waves. Bye!
Cheers!
I don't know what's funny, aminals, or that's probably longer than the whole episode.
I feel like an elbowed grandmother.